You know, it isn't Christmas without Harry Shearer. I'm not sure why that is, but it's true. I know that it's true. He's in Los Angeles right now getting ready for another show, and this great show that he's doing called Christmas Without Tears. Harry Shearer joining us right now. Hey, Harry, how are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine. You got a big show tonight? Is there a show tonight in L.A.?
Judith Allen and I do a Christmas charity show tour every year called Christmas Without Tears tonight and tomorrow night in L.A. and Wednesday night in New Orleans are the two final stops on the tour.
Final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, before, I know you were mentioning the Star Wars movie. It does, it's the first one to come with a side effects warning. I don't know if you noticed it.
No, what?
Seek immediate medical attention if your lightsaber lasts more than 4 hours.
Are you as into it as the average person?
I'm as about it, not into it as the average. You know, I actually did some voice work for the original Star Wars movie.
You did? What'd you do?
I don't remember. It was you know, some characters with gobbledygook names is all I knew at the time. And it just seemed like the silliest thing in the world. They didn't even show you the script. They showed you an 8-page outline because it was all very secret and hush-hush. But it just seemed, well, this thing's going nowhere fast. But it just shows you, you know, you can never tell.
Was there an Ned Flanders one?
No, there was not. Ned Flanders didn't exist at that time yet.
But he existed
that far
in you.
Along.
There's somewhere in you he existed.
Yeah, well, but this was in a different galaxy.
Yeah. Now, your connection with Christmas, you're so identified with the holiday and the celebration thereof, and yet, you know, you are from a different background, shall we say.
How delicate.
Yes. You're from a very delicate, different background.
Yeah.
And is it because of being in the movie The Robe? Is that what set you out on that path?
Well, you know, I was in the first CinemaScope Bible movie, so it did set me along some path, but I think it's more being married to a melancholy Welsh woman who whom I brought out to Southern California a couple decades ago, and the first Christmas she spent here, she was melancholy, but she was also depressed because it was warm and sunny, and she said, you know, Christmas is supposed to be wet, cold, and depressing.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Aren't the Welsh always melancholy? Oh, that's what I...
Well, you know, some people see the glass as half full. Some people see the glass as half empty. The Welsh see the glass as half broken.
Half broken. But do you still pay tribute to the other half of your delicate background?
During most of the stops on the Christmas... By the way, the Christmas Without Tears tour has generated an EP of some of the music... and some of the other things that are performed during the show, because it's half reverent and half irreverent. Mm-hmm. And the EP is a benefit for the Elton John AIDS Foundation, I should say that. And it's on iTunes. But yes,
fantastic. It is called Christmas Without Tears. Right?
Yes. But normally, when Jill Sobule, a wonderful singer-songwriter, is not with us, as she will be tonight to perform this song of hers, I get to perform it. It's a tribute to the ecumenical spirit of the of this holiday season. It's called Jesus Was a Dreidel Spinner.
Ah. It did not make the EP, we should add.
It did not make the EP. but Fred Willard's explanation of the true Christmas story did make the EP, which is a highlight.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's in there. Are you mentioned in the true Christmas story by name as the young boy next to Jesus?
Yeah.
See, young boy next to Jesus as Harry Shearer, actually. How did you get that part, by the way? Were your parents push you into that somehow? Or?
Oh, in the robe?
Yeah.
They didn't push me into any garment.
No.
except, you know, some boxer shorts. No, it was a real fluke. They did push me into piano lessons.
Yeah.
And my piano teacher had a daughter who was in show business. And after a little while, I like to think that I pushed her out of that profession because she was going to quit being a piano teacher and start being a children's agent. And you know, I can understand how she would have tired of trying to get me to read.
Yeah.
She said to my parents, you know, would you mind if we tried to get Harry some work? And they were Eastern European immigrants. They didn't know from any of this. They just were bemused by it all. They said, sure. And 7 months later, she called with an audition for the Jack Benny program, and that's what started me in show business.
Yeah. So you went on Jack Benny, then you went right to The Robe.
I went on the Jack Benny program and then went right to The Robe. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah. And then to Abbott and Costello go to Mars.
Yeah. What did they do with you on Jack Benny?
Excuse me?
What did you do on Jack
what
Benny?
What use did they make of me?
Yes.
Yeah. I was a boy. I was sort of a typecasting. I was a young boy.
Yeah.
But he had a group of kids in the neighborhood in Beverly Hills, kind of like a Cub Scout troop, and I was one of the kids. And then every once in a while, I'd play him as a child.
Oh, you did? You played him as... Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, yeah. So I did a lot of stuff. I worked for him for 8 years. I like to say, Michael, I started in show business at the top and have been diligently working my way down ever since.
Yeah. Could you nail Jack Benny as a child?
Well, I like to think I did, you know.
But you could do that at age 8 or 9 or whatever.
Well, I did that in a more soprano approach, you know.
I miss Jack Benny. One of the many people that I mean, there's too many people to list that you miss, but, you know, in terms of comedy or anything else.
Well, you know, you're still in a world where a lot of people were influenced by him.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not enough, because right. I got the idea from working with him that stars in comedy liked everybody around them to get laughs.
Oh.
That was a misapprehension,
yeah.
Because most stars in comedy don't like everybody around them to get laughs.
Yes.
But that was the amazing thing about Jack Benny. He
yeah.
loved every, you know, he was so generous with giving laughs to other people in the cast,
yeah.
because he could always get a laugh by just reacting to them.
Yeah, he could just do reaction shots.
Yeah,
for a laugh.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Yeah.
None of my reactions would get a laugh. Well,
it's harder to get laughs with reactions on radio, although he, of course, had a very successful radio
yeah.
for many years.
Well, he got reactions on the radio. I mean, that's even more amazing.
He got reactions famously by being silent on the radio. There's the most famous sequence from his radio show is he was, for people who were too young to remember Jack Benny, he was famously, among other things, a miserly person. He was very tight with money.
Yeah.
Was part of his comedy character. And so on one of his shows, I think in the late 1930s, in the middle of the show, he's walking down the street, and a robber comes up to him and says, "Your money or your life?" And there's silence. And the robber says,
yeah.
I said, "Your money or your life," and there's more silence. And then finally the robber says, "Look, I said your money or your life," and Benny says, I'm thinking.
I know. He's done that. That's great. He was totally great.
Yeah, he was.
But speaking of this, getting isn't the hardest laugh you'll ever get from a comic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some just nod knowingly when
yeah.
you say something funny.
Or they'll say that's good.
Yeah. On the other hand, you know, there are funny people who have the most surprising funny bones. And if I'm not going to go into intricate detail, but if you
yep.
Can kind of recede to the 5-year-old level, some of the most sophisticated funny people that I know will just dissolve into giggles. So you never know.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Making bodily noises of a rude sort.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that'll get them if nothing else will.
So there are generous comics.
Well, they're helpless. I think more helpless than generous.
Giving, I guess you could
yeah.
say. Yeah. By the way,
we're all giving this time of year, aren't we, Michael?
I think we are. And by the way, I don't mean to go into your personal business and stuff like this, but Simpsons, man, I'm so glad you're on there.
Oh, thank you.
Because you know what? First of all, I suspect it was a brilliant business move on your part, so I don't want to get into that part of it.
Yeah.
But
nor do I.
It was brilliant. It's all, but the reaction was the same. It's not The Simpsons without all that you put into that show. Really, who could watch it if someone else was doing it, you know?
Well, you know, Ted Cruz tried.
Yeah. Ted Cruz could possibly do it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's nice to know that he has a backup plan.
Yeah. I wonder what it is. Okay. Just to backtrack here a little bit now, how do you celebrate the Jewish part of you?
Oh, you know, basically by default, you know, I live with a Welsh woman who adores having a Christmas tree in the house
sure.
and adores presents on Christmas Day.
Of course.
So I basically celebrate the Jewish side of me by sitting in the other room and watching basketball.
A good answer.
Okay.
It's a wonderful answer.
Well, it's a hallowed tradition in our among our people, you know.
Yes.
5,000 years of sitting in the other room watching basketball.
Watching basketball, yeah. Okay. And how are things going on the basketball front?
Oh, yeah. Well, I still play, which is fun. Yeah. But I live in New Orleans mainly, and our team got ravaged by. You don't want to hear this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
This is the ugly part.
No, ravage. If it's not Packers, ravage is good.
Yeah. No, it was a horrible trade that happened 4 years ago.
That one.
And we're still our team is still recovering, and it's a sad story. But anyway, I love the game.
As ravages often are.
Yeah, well, mainly are. I think they're designed to be. So.
Yeah, you never hear of a happy ravage.
A happy ravage is an unsuccessful ravage.
Yeah. Can we play one of the tracks here? Would you mind?
Sure.
Because give them an idea. Because you can't. You were here not too long ago, some years ago. And both of you, you and Judith, performed a Christmas number.
We did indeed. And Chicago, which is not that far from you, was a site of one of our earlier Christmas shows this year.
I didn't even know. I just saw that on the run. You're in
Evanston.
With
you know Howard Levy, the most wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he was on that show. And part of the thrill of this is we gather really talented people who enjoy the party atmosphere of this show. In New York, we had the amazing banjoist Bela Fleck with us.
And then in
Chicago, we had the astonishing Howard Levy. Anyone who has not heard him, you really need to, because this is harmonica playing on such a high level. You can't believe he's playing this little what looks like a toy instrument and making such beauty out of it.
Yeah, and you haven't lived till you've heard him on the Jew's harp.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's correct. He does play the Jew's harp.
Yeah, he does, yes.
Yeah.
Despite being Howard Levy. I mean, that takes a lot of courage, frankly, in my thinking.
Yeah. Well,
you got Jane Lynch is with you this year. Is she on the tour as well?
She's with us in Los Angeles as well as Fred Willard, the aforementioned Fred Willard.
And Catherine O'Hara?
Catherine is up north in Canada this year doing this very funny television series she's doing with Gene Levy, the name of which I can't say on your air.
Oh, well, good. Well, look for that then.
Yeah.
The unmentionables.
Yeah, the second word in the title is Creek.
Oh, okay. Good name for a show.
Yeah.
Or a career. My career could be named.
Yeah.
Could be about my career.
It's a well populated creek.
Yeah. Unless she does What Do You Get from the Man Who Has Nothing?
Yes, okay. which is her own song, which is wonderful. And then Amy Engelhart, who was a fabulous singer, used to be in the Bobs. Wrote a song from the point of view of a certain virgin called How Did This Thing Get in Me?
Which okay.
On the record as well.
Yeah. Let's stay away from that one, if possible.
It's a mite controversial.
Yeah. I would like to hear the Judith Owens song, The Best Things. Would that be all right with you?
It's wonderful, yeah.
It's a wonderful song.
Xbox and feed me some licorice. Tie me in tinsel and sing at my door. Buy me the latest, the greatest in everything. Drown me in chocolate, well, who could want more? But the best things, yes, the best things, they come at no price. Yes, they're free and they're nicest. It's what you remember in spite of the glitter. And the best thing, it's the best thing this Christmas is you. What would I want with a fast car in my drive? What would I care without you there? Daring, sharing, sitting by my side. So write me a story and feed me some marzipan. Knit me
best thing in Christmas is you, Harry Shearer.
Thank you.
Beautiful song, Judith Owen.
Yeah.
The lovely Misser. Does she ever sound Welsh around the house or something? Because you can't really tell.
There's only one word that I've ever heard her say that belies. You know, she has a very BBC kind of accent, which she learned in drama school. And I for years thought if I woke her up in the middle of the night, she'd start screaming like a Welsh woman. But not true. But the word won't, which the British pronounces won't, she throws a little diphthong in there, won't. And that's the only clue that she's Welsh.
That's the only way you can tell.
Yeah, and the fact that she sits and watches rugby of an afternoon.
And you say of an afternoon, it shows the influence.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Of an afternoon, as you do.
Yeah. Harry, thanks so much. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Michael. Have an excellent war on Christmas, won't you?
Yes, thank you. A war for Christmas. That's what we're fighting.
Ah, excellent.
All right, thanks. Harry Shearer in Los Angeles. Christmas Without Tears is the EP.